Welcome into the Writer's Room. This podcast explores the world of TV through interviews with writers, producers, and anyone who helps get ideas from the notes app to the Netflix queue. Today's guest is Andy Nishida, a staff writer on Disney's Gabby Drain and The Unsittables. In this episode, we chat about her experiences at USC, the Warner Media Access Writers Program, and pitching original shows. You'll get insight into not only how to get into the Writer's Room, but what the snacks are like in there. As always, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much for being on Into the Writer's Room. I'm super happy to have you on it since you've been on Gabby Drain and The Unsittables, which is, you know, a really up-and-coming Disney show. And is it on Disney Plus right now?
Yeah, so the first 10 episodes are now on Disney Plus, and the show continues to air. I think they just aired episode 15, maybe? Yeah.
Great. That's super exciting. Are you like watching it every time it comes out?
Yes, I am. I watch the East Coast feed and then I watch the West Coast feed. So we get two viewers at least from me.
Yeah. Do you have like watch parties or anything or?
No, but only because of COVID. But if COVID was not a thing, people would be over and I would have a charcuterie and everything. It would be great.
Yeah, that sounds so fun. Have you always had an interest in writing?
I would say so. I think from an early age, I liked making up stories, even if it was like lies, like just like little things to make life a little bit more interesting. So yeah, I gravitated towards writing and I thought I was going to be a journalist for a while, because when you're young, when you're in school, they are like, you could write an essay for an English class and that can be your fun, or you can write for the school newspaper. And it's like, oh, newspaper, journalism, like that seems different than what I'm used to. So yeah, I thought I was going to be a journalist. And then I found out that the guy I liked was applying to film school. And I was like, well, I guess I also have to apply to film school. And I saw that screenwriting was an option. And I was like, oh, okay, that seems interesting. I'll try that. So I applied really fast. I think I have like 2 weeks to submit an application. I got it done, sent it in, and I got in. And the guy did not, but I went anyway. And that's kind of how I got here.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. That sounds like a perfect like plot point in a pilot or something.
Yes.
How I ended up in film school without my crush. Like, that's awesome though. So what was it like in your first couple of classes? Like were you familiar with screenwriting, or was it all like pretty new for you?
It was all pretty new. I know I did take a tour of USC just a while before I applied there. And like out of curiosity, I had asked like, oh, if I like wanted to go to film school, like what should I do? And they were like, well, pick a movie you like and like Google the script and read it. And I was like, okay. So I Googled the Mean Girls script and that's pretty much all I knew about screenwriting. Just like what Tina Fey wrote in this one script. It's like very specific.
Hey, I think that's like a good example though, right? Like that's awesome. So what did you write about in like your essay for USC then? Like, did you have to write about screenwriting in your essay? Or did you just write about other stuff?
I honestly do not remember. It's all a blur.
Yeah, no worries.
I know they like have prompts. I think they have like the same two prompts every year where they're like, write a scene about two people stuck in an elevator and write a scene where some person knows something and the other person doesn't. So it's just like very vague.
Yeah. Okay. So that's fun though. It's, you get some practice. That's cool. So what else did you do like while you were at USC? Like, were you in any like extracurricular like student films or anything?
No, but that probably would have been a good thing to do. I think I tried to stay away from the film people as much as I could. Just because I was with them all the time. Like when you're, especially on writing, which is like a BFA, which is a little bit different than the other programs. Like all you do is write and you just hang out with the same like 30 people all the time. So I kind of made an effort to like kind of step away from them a little bit, just for a bit, just like, you know, to have a life outside of writing. What did I do? I was in a Japanese American club, which is just like yeah, it was fun. It was just like us hanging out and we would just go eat and stuff. But we did do like a big production at the end of every year where we would have like a play, and then within the play there would be like dance numbers and like songs and stuff. So I was pretty involved with that, and I ended up writing the play for 2 years. My last 2 years I wrote and directed, and then the first 2 years I was like a prop master artistic director. So that was fun.
Wow, that's super cool. Did that like help impact you like as a TV writer now, like to have that kind of like directing background?
Yeah, actually that was also my first time actually like directing something, so I probably should not have been put in charge of this thing. And I like also still have nightmares about just like the stress of it all. But yeah,
sounds good stressful experience. Like managing a bunch of college kids, like
yeah, and like they're also not getting paid, so like you feel bad like asking them to do extra.
Yeah What were the plays about?
They were all very focused on community, because we are, I mean, USC is like down the street from Little Tokyo, so we had a pretty good relationship with everyone in that community, just like how to communicate its history with people who aren't familiar with it, and you know, like stuff like that, basically communicating history outside of the community.
Okay. That sounds yeah. amazing. I kind of want to watch this, but it sounds like it's over. Yeah, that's super awesome. So when you, did you like do any internships in college too, or were you more focused on like your actual writing, like coursework and everything?
I ended up doing, I think maybe 3 internships just in development. And one, I was like kind of a personal assistant. But that's another story. But yeah, so I interned at, I think it was someone who had some kind of deal with like 21st Century Fox. So basically what I did all day was read scripts and answer the phones. And I got very good at both of those things. But I think the most helpful thing that the internship helped me with was realizing that you actually don't have to be a perfect, fantastic writer to get reps or to even like have something of yours submitted to a company, because everything I read was flawed. And I think I remember maybe one script I read where I was like, oh yeah, I could do this as a movie, but like 99% of it was like, no.
That's crazy. That must have like made you feel a little bit, I don't know, more confident or something. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Although I'm sure yours is in the 1%. So,
well, I don't know.
That's awesome though. So did you feel like reading all those like helped you learn what not to do at all? Or
yeah, I mean, it definitely helped me learn what not to do. I think maybe the most important thing I took away from it is that like you don't want to confuse your reader. If your reader has like 10 questions on page 5, like maybe something is wrong there. Maybe you could clarify more, because it's very frustrating to be confused.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not fun, and it makes you not want to read or watch things anymore.
That's a really good point. Did you, so like, were you kind of like the first like level of like reading, and then like it would go up to someone higher up who decided to invest in it, or like how did that work?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it was. That if it got past the dumb interns, then it would go to the exec.
Hey, so how many, what percent do you think you sent on to execs?
Like literally like probably 1%. Wow. I think it was like 3 scripts total.
Oh my god. And how long was that internship? Like
I was there for 2 summers in a row.
Okay. And 3 in that 2 summers? Oh my god.
Yeah.
So was this TV, right?
It was TV and film, and it was like actiony, like action adventure-y kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. So after you graduated, how did you like, did you think about going into development, or how did you like navigate post-grad life? Because it can be pretty scary, especially in entertainment.
Yeah. I think USC was very upfront with us when we were about to graduate. They were like, hey, give it 5 to 10 years before you expect to have like the job you want. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, thanks. That's honest. I have my expectations set a little bit lower now. They also gave us a lot of options, like a lot of routes we could have taken. They're like, oh, you can go the assistant route, you can write a book and hope to sell that. It's just a lot of ways that you can kind of break in. I chose to not go the assistant route because I thought I would cry every day. I thought I would hate my life. So instead, I just ended up doing a bunch of weird part-time jobs. I think I always had like 3 or 4 jobs at the same time. And in my spare time, I would just write as much as I could. I mean, it worked out. It worked out for me. I think that was the correct decision.
Yeah, I think that's really important to like think about the different routes, because I feel like the assistant route is the one I've been hearing about the most. Because it does make sense that you would be able to network and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's so good to know that you, you know, were able to just get in on good scripts and stuff like that. So did those jobs you had like impact your writing at all? Like, did you get funny stories at all? Or
I actually do not think so. Like, I wish I did. Like, what kind of jobs did I do? I was an ice cream scooper.
Like at basketball. Which was, thing?
It was actually at Mikawaya, which no longer exists. It was in Little Tokyo, where they make the mochi ice cream. And I say make, they don't actually make it there. It's made in a factory and they used to bring it in, and we would have to like take it out of the box and put them in baking cups to make it look like we made it there.
Oh my God.
It's okay. I can say this now because they're closed down.
That's so funny. But those look really hard to make. Like, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Like, people would come in and they'd be like, can you make this flavor? And we're like, yeah, we can try. Like, no.
That's really funny. Did you eat a lot of mochi?
Yeah, I did. There was also some weird rule there where they were like, you can take up to 3 of whatever you want, but you can only do it like once every 2 days. And they're like, literally whatever you want. So if like I needed napkins, I would take like 3 packs of napkins like home in my bag.
Okay.
Yeah. So that applied to that and the mochi. I would just take like a bunch of mochi home and like bring it to parties.
Oh yeah. I seriously love mochi. Like, I feel like I discovered that like in college, and like it's so much better than regular ice cream, honestly.
But, yeah.
So then how did you go from like that to getting your first staff job? Because that seems like quite a hard jump to make.
Well, first of all, it did take me 5 years, so USC was correct. So props.
But you were on the lower end at least.
Yeah. What did I do? So I mean, I just kept writing, and I think I kept getting better at writing with every script that I wrote, because that just happens for everybody. One of my scripts eventually started placing in competitions, or was winning in competitions, and the competitions themselves didn't really help with connections, but it mostly, they told me that things I write were not hot garbage and could be sent to like managers and not end up just in the trash file right away. So I just started querying a bunch of managers. I think I sent maybe like 100 emails one afternoon. I just dedicated the whole day to sending a bunch of emails. I heard back from a few requesting the script, and then I took a few meetings, and I ended up signing with one of the managers I queried.
Oh.
And yeah, so that worked out too. They say that querying does not work, but it does.
That's awesome. Yeah, you just gotta do it a lot of times, but
yeah.
So did, like, in those emails, were you saying like that you had won like certain contests?
Yeah, so I think I tried to keep it as short as possible. I was like, hey, graduated from USC, I wrote this script, it's about blah blah blah, it placed in this competition, would you like to read it? That's basically it.
Okay, that's cool. And what competitions did you win, by the way?
A couple of them were through Screencraft, which I recommend to almost everyone, just because the Screencraft team is very nice and they do try to help connect you with people. Like, I think I took a meeting with them when I was just a finalist, and they were like, hey, what can we do for you? Do you want us to send you a script somewhere? Do Do you want to meet production companies? What do you need from us? And yeah, yeah, so they're very nice.
That's awesome. Did you have them send your script somewhere? Or?
Not at that point, just because that actually happened like just after I was repped. Oh, so I was like, no. Oh, we're like a week too late. Sorry.
Oh, that makes sense though. How is it with your manager? Do you still have the same one or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's great. And I think I'd worked with him for like 6 months before he was like, hey, do you want an agent on this team? And I was like, sure. So he sent me to meet with an agent and I ended up signing with him as well.
Okay. So the manager is more for like long-term career. And then is the agent more just for like getting certain jobs?
So my manager helps with like notes, like on scripts. I feel like he's really helpful in that sense. And just to kind of tell me like, hey, the industry is looking like this right now. So maybe we'll wait, or maybe we want to push the script out quicker, stuff like that. And the agent does a lot of the negotiating for me on contracts, which is helpful because I cannot read contracts. I will fall asleep and then I will be screwed.
That must be like super helpful because I also feel like contracts are so tiring and yeah. Understand.
Yeah.
So how was it then for getting on Gabby Duran and the Unsittables?
So that job came up very fast. Like I feel like everything just happened very fast after 5 years of waiting. So I literally signed with my agent and then like maybe 5 days later, he was like, hey, you have a showrunner meeting. Wow. Can you go in tomorrow? It's like, oh, sure. Yeah, I can make that happen. So I had to like get a lot of my shifts covered and then I made this meeting. And then like the same afternoon, he was like, hey, they're going to send in an offer. Like they want to hire you.
Oh my gosh.
Everything happened very, very fast.
That's so awesome. What was the meeting like?
I know they sent me a couple episodes of Gabby Duran beforehand. So I was on season 2 and season 1 had not aired yet, but they had a couple episodes ready to like show. So I watched those episodes. I watched them maybe like 10 times just so I could get a feel for what the show was. I took notes, like things that I liked, things that I didn't like, or things I would like want to explore in a second season. And they asked about all of that stuff, which is good that I prepared. But yeah, so it was just like pretty much that, like how can you improve our show? How can we improve our show? Do you have any pitches for like characters? Something like that.
Wow, that's exciting. You only had a day to prepare all that. So
yeah.
So then after you got signed, did you quit your other jobs or like how did that go?
Well, I was teaching fitness at the time. So I'm a Pilates instructor, reformer-ish Pilates. It's high intensity Pilates on a machine. And I was working there like maybe 30 hours a week when all of this happened. And like that night that I was like, that the contract came in, I texted the studio owner and I was like, hey, I'm going to have to give up like almost all of my classes.
Yeah,
but I'll still be there on the weekends.
Yeah, and
yeah, to this day that's still what I do. I still teach a couple days a week. It's fun.
Cool. Yeah, no, I know that's super fun and like get a good workout in and you know get paid for it at the same time. So
yeah.
So was the season like the writer's room starting like once you got signed or like how long of a wait was it?
I think it was a couple weeks just to finalize everyone's contract. Very quickly after, there was not a lot of wait time.
And then was it in person or remote?
It was in person. So we started in like October 2019 and then we worked as long as we could in person until what was that, like March 2020, and then we had to go remote.
Yeah. And how big was the writer's room?
There were 17 people.
Wow.
When it was full, but some of those were assistants, but like everyone was pitching. And so it was 17 people.
Wow, that's a lot of people. Was that like hard to handle at all? Or
when we were in person, it was a lot easier. Because you can have like side conversations with people like trying to figure out one thing while everyone's working on something else. But when you're on Zoom, everyone is working on the same thing and everyone's trying to talk at the same time. Yeah. It's a little bit hard.
It sounds super hard. Oh my gosh. Can you just kind of give an overview of like how it works? Like, do you guys get an outline of how the season's going to go, or do you guys decide that and then go into the episodes? Like, how do you guys get started?
Well, first of all, we watched all of the episodes. So we watched 21 episodes in like 3 days. So that was intense. After that, we started talking about like bigger season arcs, like, where is Gabby starting after the season finale of season one? Where do we want her to end up at the end of the second season? And then we would kind of like pace it out from there. So like, if we want her to end up like here at the end, then that means by episode 10, she has to be here. That means by episode 5, she has to be here. So it's kind of just like taking a bigger arc and then really breaking it down in a way that felt manageable. And then the showrunners pitched that to Disney. We got notes back, and then we would just adjust from there. And then I feel like probably the first couple weeks after that, we were just all of us generating ideas for episodes. So we would get sent off and we'd be told, hey, come up with 20 potential ideas for episodes. And then we'd send all of those into the showrunners. They would come back to us as a whole room and be like, hey, these are like the viable ones. There were like quite a few. And then we just keep like whittling it down from there.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, it sounds honestly similar to like my kind of job in advertising. Like, it's a lot of concepts and ideas, and it just gets like cut. But yeah. But I guess you gets cut to like what, 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. That's awesome though. So then how did you guys decide like who writes what episode? Because I know you have one. I saw you had like a written by Annie on the credits. That's super exciting.
Yeah. So for the show, it pretty much went by seniority. We had different level writers in our room. I think the highest level, like besides the showrunners, we had two teams of co-producers. So they got the most episodes. They were also here the season before, so they knew the show a little bit better. And then we had a couple of story editors from the previous season as well. So they got a couple episodes too. So, I mean, that was pretty much the order. So it was like co-producers get their episodes, then story editors, and then the staff writers get our episodes, and then it just like repeats as needed. And the showrunners were the ones who kind of handed out the episode assignments. So sometimes if you pitched an idea that made it to that stage where it could be an episode, like you would get to write it.
That's great.
But if the timing didn't work out, then they would just like give you something that kind of felt up your alley a bit. Like, I got one that was like very larky and fun and joke heavy, which is pretty much what I like to do. So they did a really good job in that sense of giving me mine.
That's great. So how much time did you have to write it?
So we do, or we get a week to write the outline, but you break the story as a room. So you come up with like pretty much the whole concept for the show, act one, act two, act three, as a room. And then one person goes off to write the outline. So if I was writing the episode, I would go off to write the outline. I get a week, I turn it in, and then we get notes back on the outline from Disney. And then from there, we kind of address the notes as a room, just so we're all on the same page. And then same writer, so if it was me, I would go back and I would write the first draft. And then we get more notes, and then we would work out the notes as we were also punching up the script for like a second draft. So yeah, so really the writer is in charge of the outline and the first draft, and then the room helps along the way.
Okay, that's nice though. You got like more joke ideas coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you say like you go off to write it, like, so are you like kind of skipping the writer's room that week, or are you still going?
Yeah, so you can be where you can write wherever you want as long as it gets done. Like, some people had kids that they wanted to go into the office to write, but for me, I just like stayed at home because I also lived 2 hours away from our room.
Oh my gosh, where was your room?
We were in Sherman Oaks, but I live in Long Beach.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty rough. Was it like, yeah. What were the hours? The
hours were very good. They were just 10 to 6 every day. Sometimes you would have to stay till maybe 7:30, but it didn't go much later than that, and that only happened a couple of times.
That's good. So not the crazy comedy show writer's room hours.
No, definitely not. I would have died.
Yeah, I mean, actually then though, you would have like skipped some of the traffic though, so.
That's very true. I probably would have just slept there.
Oh my gosh, that's really tough. So I guess that was like one slight benefit of going remote, is you could just not drive 4 hours a day.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, I have so much time now, like what am I gonna do?
Yeah, that's awesome though. Did this is just like a weird question, do they have like great snacks or something? Like I've heard about that in writer's rooms.
Yeah, we had so much food, like I kind of feel bad about it, like why do we deserve this? we just had a whiteboard where we could make requests for food, so if someone wanted yogurt, we just get yogurt, like stuff like that.
Wow, that's awesome. So what was it like working on a Disney show, because I know you are somewhat of a Disney fan yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. In my Disneyland spirit jersey. Yeah, working for Disney was, it was really fun. I feel like everyone, they're like the execs, the writers, the showrunners, they're all just like very nice people. And I think that might be the case for pretty much all of kids' TV, just because like the stakes aren't lower, but I mean, they kind of feel like they are. Like,
yeah.
Like kids will laugh at anything.
Yeah.
Kids will not poke holes in the plot.
Yeah.
Stuff sure. Like that. Yeah. It didn't feel stressful at all. Like I feel like a different show for a different audience could feel at times. So it was just a very supportive environment to be in. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that's super awesome. I've been seeing a little bit on TikTok of people like analyzing SpongeBob episodes and Fairly Odd Parents and like shows from my childhood. And like,
yeah,
I wonder if like your shows are going to be analyzed and like put to the plot test in like 10 years from now.
I'd be very interested in that. Yeah. I would watch that.
For sure. Would you ever want to work on an adult show, or are you more focused on staying in kids, or what are you feeling for that?
I mean, I really like kids' TV because I feel like that's where you make the most difference, because kids are still impressionable. And I mean, that's kind of where you learn like, hey, there are different people that look different than I do, and they have different upbringings. And that's just kind of like how you introduce kids to the world. But hey, if like an adult show comes up, like I'm not gonna turn that down.
Yeah, for either. Sure. Yeah. I guess would you prefer to work on an animated kids show or like a live action one?
No, I don't really have a preference. I think my writing does gravitate a little bit more towards animation, just because I like the action elements of it. Like I like weird things that can happen. I also like monsters and ghosts.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But you've got your fair share of monsters on Gabby and the Incredibles, so.
Yeah, true.
So I guess, what has your time there, like, taught you about, like, the industry in general?
Oh, that's a very good question. Honestly, it just makes everything easier if you're, like, a pleasant person to work with. Like, I got very lucky where people were just very nice around me all the time, and we did not have people with egos or anything like that. But I mean, I've heard stories where people are not that great to work with. They are not pleasant. And hey, if you're like that, like people aren't gonna want to work with you. like newsflash, people don't want to be around you, and it's gonna be harder to get a job. Even if you're very good at your job, like people, it's like a vibe thing. Like if you're bringing the room's energy down, like people don't want to be around that. They'd rather be around someone who like maybe has a little bit less experience, but are like more positive, like feel like they're contributing more, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think like being a nice person is always good advice and a good lesson to spread. And I'm sure your show spreads that message. So what is like your favorite part of being a TV writer?
I mean, it's so hard to just like choose one thing, because I feel like I've been working towards this like my whole life. So like just that I'm here is like my favorite part.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's like, that's for that.
I mean, just to like wake up and be like, I don't have to go scoop ice cream today. Like, I can just sit down and write and I can make cool stuff. Like, that's really amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. I feel like that's like the fact that what you write actually ends up being made and put on TV is like so, so cool. So congrats. So I guess what's like something that people don't know about being a TV writer? We already covered the snacks though. So if you have another fact.
I think that especially in TV, that a lot of your job is sitting around, like even in COVID times, it's sitting with like a bunch of people and just saying whatever random things come into your head. Like 90% of what you pitch in a room is not going to make it. Like, it's your job to just like throw things at the wall and hope that something sticks. And even if it doesn't, like, you're still contributing in some way. Like, you could pitch a bad joke and someone could take that bad joke and run with it, and then it becomes like a whole episode.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome that you guys can like have teamwork around it instead of being like, well, this was my joke, you can't edit it. Yeah. That's awesome. Have you feel like it's made you more funny in real life at all, or is it like separate skill sets? Like,
it's probably made me be able to think a little bit faster. Also, fun fact, I did like a lot of improv in college, like, and it wasn't good. Like, I wanted to so badly be very good at improv. Like, I wanted to be on SNL, so I took a bunch of like Groundlings classes and UCB classes and a bunch of classes at USC, and I was terrible at improv. Like, I could not think on my feet. I would freeze. So
the yes and, like, that's all I know.
Yeah, it's like stressful, and people love it and they say it's freeing, and then me, like, it made me want to cry. It gave me such bad anxiety.
Like, good for you for like sticking with it and really trying it. Like, it's impressive.
So I guess being in a room has helped a little bit that way. I mean, I started at the bottom and now I'm maybe like one step above where I'm.
Go back to Groundlings and try out again, like. And you can like flex your writing credit and then kind of pivoting now into your Warner Media Access Writers Program. Congrats on getting into that. Can you tell us a little bit about like the application process and like any other like tips for getting in if you have any?
Sure. So first of all, so this is the first year of this iteration of this program. So it used to be HBO. Some people don't know that. Like, I did not know that until I clicked on like the link to apply, and it was like formerly known as HBO.
Okay. I actually didn't know that either. So
I guess there's like some kind of merger, and now like Warner owns everything that Disney doesn't own or something like that. So the application was pretty straightforward. They ask for two scripts, and those are two original pilots that you have. So not specs of existing shows, but like your actual ideas, and they could be 30 minute or hour long, but they have to be in the same category. You can't submit like one 30 minute and 1 hour long. It has to be one of those. And there were also a couple of essay questions, but they were shorter. They were like maybe 400 words or less. And I think Warner Media was very conscious of that, because I don't think they want people doing a bunch of work for free, which is nice. That's
very nice of them, because other programs are not like that.
Yeah, the people at Warner Media just seem very thoughtful in that way. Like, even when we're in the program now, they're conscious of our time and that we have lives outside of this.
Very good. So how did you pick your scripts?
So one of them I chose because it had been the sample that got me staffed on Gabby Duran. So I was like, okay, well, that one's good. That one also happened to be an animated script. Oh. And so I had to submit another animated script. I was like, oh, okay, like, I have another one. So those are my two animation scripts.
Did you apply for like other writers programs, or is this kind of like, have you been applying? I know that some people like apply for years and everything.
I was applying every year to everyone until I got staffed. And I think once you're staffed, that's disqualifies you from quite a lot of them.
Yeah, but that's what I thought it was to get staffed.
Yeah. So this one, I think, is the only one that you can have been staffed for one year only, and you can still apply.
Barely made it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you kind of did it the opposite way, but it worked out.
Yeah. So how has it been so far?
It's been great. So we are all virtual again because of COVID and everything. And there are 21 of us in total, which is also a big Zoom meeting.
So that's cool. How are the people in the program? Like are they mostly focused on, and are they like all different genres?
There are only two animation writers. So it's me and this other wonderful writer. And then there's a few comedy writers, and then after that it's like all drama. So it's majority drama and then comedy and then animation, but I feel like that's the breakdown for pretty much any fellowship. It's mostly drama people for some reason.
Do you read all of their scripts? Like how does the program work? I guess, can you just give us a rundown of that?
Yeah, so the first couple months it was like a boot camp type thing where people would come in, people in the industry, so like execs or like diversity and inclusion people, or even just like working writers. They would all come in and they would just talk to us. They would give like a presentation for an hour, and then they would open it up for questions. So that was extremely helpful. We did that again for like the first 2 months. And then after that, so what we're doing now is we are writing original pilots under the supervision of like a mentor. So they split us up into three groups, like group A, B, and C. And then we each have a mentor, and we are writing a pilot from beginning to end. And I think they're due in December.
Oh, they're due in December. Oh my gosh, you don't have much time.
No.
So is your mentor, like what kind of shows do they write? Like, are they in animated at all, or?
My mentor is not, but he is a comedy writer, which is helpful. The other mentors, I think, work in drama. And they also did not split our groups by like comedy, drama, animation. Like it's a mix.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you guys do like mock writers' rooms or?
Not really. We do. So every week we have to submit our pages. So if we have an outline or we have like a first draft, we submit those pages. And people will come in, like our own group will come in, and we can give each other notes in that sense. So it is kind of like a writer's room, but we also only get 15 minutes per person. So it goes very fast.
Okay, interesting. All right. So at the end of this, like, will you have opportunities to get staffed on like a Warner Media show, or is that kind of like TBD?
So I think their goal is to get us all staffed. I'm not sure if it has to be a Warner Media show, but at this point, I don't know what's not a Warner Media show. It could be anything.
For sure. Okay. So are they going to like give you meetings, or like, how does that part work?
So once we're done with the scripts that we're writing, I think they distribute them out.
Oh, so this is like a lot of pressure. Yeah. Sorry. I don't want to add more pressure to it.
It's okay. It's an opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. So I know that you have pitched before. Are you currently pitching, or how is that going?
Yes, I am currently pitching. So I've done a couple of like open writing assignments where someone will come to me and be like, hey, we are looking for a take on this book or whatever they hand to me. And then from there, like I craft a pitch, and then I'm pretty much competing against like other people, and then they just like decide from there. Yeah.
That's stressful. But do you like translating books, or like prefer to write original, or?
It totally depends. I mean, the things that I have pitched on, I have really liked. And I can always say no if I feel like I'm not the right person, or if I just like don't want to devote a lot of time to something. But yeah, I'm lucky that the things that I've gotten have resonated with me.
That's great. Yeah. Has it been more TV or features, or how does that?
They've all been TV. Okay. And pretty much all in like the kids space.
Oh, okay. Fun. So you've pitched like your original shows though too, right?
Yes, I have.
So how was it? How is it? Like, how did you learn how to do it? Like, what is it like when you're in there?
I was very fortunate that I had been working with like producers and higher level writers that kind of gave me a crash course. And this is what a pitch looks like, or this is like what needs to be included in it. So that was very helpful. I was also extremely fortunate that this all happened during COVID. So I think what usually happens when you go into pitch is you actually sit in a room with execs and you have to have everything memorized and it all has to go correctly. But on Zoom, you can kind of put up a little document and you can read off of.
Like almost like I'm doing with the questions right now. That's super exciting though. So do you have like a deck? Do you present one show at a time or is it multiple shows?
Yeah, one show at a time. So my pitches have been like 20 to 25 minutes where I just go through the whole thing, like background about me, why I want to make the show right now, tone, comps, characters, season art, stuff like that. Pretty much everything, all in 20 minutes.
That's a lot to cover.
Yeah, it is.
So what like studios have you pitched to, if you don't mind sharing?
Sure. So I've mostly just pitched to streamers. So like all of the streamers, like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, other streamers I can't think of.
Yeah. Are you like familiar with their portfolio of shows before? Like, or does that not really affect your pitch?
It helps to be familiar with what they've done and especially like what they're looking for. Like you can get intel from like agents and stuff saying like, hey, Freeform is looking for content for women who are under 30, like something like that, as an example. Just kind of like tweak things and be like, hey, this is how it appeals to like this type of audience.
Yeah.
And then you just adjust as you go, just a little bit for each studio.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, like it's like a cover letter, right? Like you've got Okay, that's awesome. So did you have any like tips for like people who've never pitched before?
I would say just to make things as concise as possible, because nobody wants to hear like a pitch that's an hour long. Like I do think 20 to 25 minutes is a sweet spot, and just try to like whittle things down as much as you can, make things easy to follow, because people will also just kind of zone out sometimes.
I mean, if they're in a lot of these, like I could see it.
Yeah, exactly. So just like try to keep their attention somehow, even if it's like a visual thing. It can be like bright. I don't know if your show calls for that or if like it's a gritty show. Like I don't know, just find little ways to hold the whoever's listening's attention.
So I know you do art, so did you add any of your drawings to your deck? Because I know deck design can be like a big deal. I don't know if you worry about that too much or.
Yeah, so I do all of my decks myself, just because I know what
you're looking for.
Like, and it's just like easier if I just do it. Sometimes I will draw characters if I'm going for a very specific look that I cannot find comps for, like if through a quick Google search.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I have drawn stuff for like half of my pitches.
Okay, cool. That's super, that must be like a little unique touch. You could be like, I'm also a storyboard artist or something.
It is super helpful.
So are you writing anything right now? Like any new pilots? I mean, obviously you are for WarnerMedia. But
besides the WarnerMedia one, I'm not really writing a new pilot right now. I'm working on a couple of original pitches with some people, which is cool. Taking up all of my time. But yeah, I mean, I guess pitching is still writing in a way.
Yeah, for sure. Are you prioritizing like pitching and getting, you know, your own show versus getting staffed again? Or like, are you just open to both?
I'm definitely open to both. And I mean, I am freelancing right now for a couple of animated shows, which helps like financially, but also like I have time to do everything, which is nice because I feel like, I mean, if I was staffed right now, that would be great, but I wouldn't have time to do everything I would want to do.
Yeah, especially this program. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Before you were pitching, were you the type to work on multiple projects at a time or like really focus and then finish it? Or how did you like approach that?
I'm definitely someone who writes one thing at a time, but I also write extremely fast because I am an anxious person. Like I cannot sleep if there is something that is not finished. Yeah. So it usually only takes me like 2 to 3 weeks to like write a pilot from like beginning to end.
And then just like the rest is just like editing, like.
I mean, those 3 weeks also include me going back and working on things 20 times.
Oh, wow. So like, it really just takes you a couple weeks? Like,
yeah.
Oh gosh, you're so fast. Oh my gosh, I feel so slow now. How many pilots do you have?
I think I probably have maybe like 7 that can be sent out.
Okay, that's a lot. I don't know. I think your minimum is like 3. So you have more than double.
I have options.
Yeah, you have options to send. That's great. Have you ever written a feature?
Not since college, I don't think. I mean, that's what they taught us to write first. Like, here, write a 100-page feature, and then you can learn TV.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never written a feature, but I don't know. Seems harder for sure.
They're just so long.
Yeah, I actually have a harder time though cutting things. Mm. I don't know. Are you more on the other side? Like,
I don't know. I feel like most of the time I do have to cut. Mm-hmm. I also like things to be 30 pages or less.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You kill your darlings?
Yes, and I do not feel bad about it either.
Wow, that's impressive. Like, so before you got staffed, like, was it hard to stay motivated? Like, did you have any tips for staying motivated? Like, because I mean, I'm very impressed that you were able to keep your tenacity for 5 years. Like, I think that's super impressive. So do you have any tips for that?
I feel like I was very, very motivated for those 5 years. And that was like maybe more of an issue than not being motivated.
Okay.
For me, like, I just get very obsessed with things. And again, like, I do not sleep if something is not finished. But that also made it very tiring for me. And I think I did eventually kind of get burned out, like not in a sense that I did not want to write anymore, but like in a sense, like physically, like I would just fall asleep in the middle of the day if I was just like sitting still for a second.
Oh my gosh, that's intense. I thought you had a sign of like how to not die for your art. So. Yeah. You translated your pain into a helpful resource.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anyone is going through that, I would just say, like, hey, take some time off. Like, I'm very much a proponent of that book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Yes. It, like, changed my life. Like, I try to devote at least an hour a week to, like, playtime, which for me is to go to Disneyland and just walk around for an hour or two, like something like that, just like something fun that helps you kind of recover physically, mentally, like whatever you need to do.
Yeah, that's super important. I think like even just for general self-care, like stuff like that is super great. So do you have a season pass to Disney?
I do. I am a Magic key holder and I think I've had it for like less than a month and I've gone like 10 times.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. So do you think you're going to get a Gabby and the Incredibles ride at some point? Or?
That would be amazing. I mean, I'm not opposed to it, obviously, but...
Yeah, do you have ideas for like what it would be like? Like,
I'm thinking of like the Monsters, Inc.
Yeah,
ride that's what I was right thinking. Now. Just yeah. Like change that to
direct. I mean, yeah, like that sounds like a great idea. I was just thinking of like, would you ever want to write like the book to a musical, like the scenes to a Disney musical?
That sounds so fun. Like, I love musicals anyway. Like, one of my favorite movies is West Side Story.
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about the remake, but we'll see. But yeah, I would love to write a book for a musical or even like an adaptation of a musical to like a feature. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Well, I hope you get to do that. And I think that if you do that, then you'll probably have a better chance of getting a ride, because I feel like that's a lot of the Disney. Well, no, they have like Okay, they have some of the ones that don't have songs, but hey, so do you have any like writing tips to improve your writing? Obviously, write a lot is the number one tip, but do you have any others?
I mean, in terms of samples, like if you're like deciding what you want to write next, I would say write something that only you can write. So like maybe it's about a specific experience that you had. Maybe it's about your upbringing. Maybe it's just, maybe you have like a weird sense of comedy that no one else has. Like I would just like lean in to like yourself. Like don't try to write something because you think like the market's hot and it's, you're going to be able to like sell something, because everything changes and you don't know what people want to buy and you don't really know what people are going to want to read. But if you write something really unique that helps you stand out, I think that is your best shot at success.
That's awesome. Do you have any like examples you can share about like something that happened to you that then ended up in a pilot, or is that just like too personal?
I guess one example. So that script that I queried with, so that was, it started as a pitch that I came up with for a class at USC. It was about like a white girl who wants to be a rapper, and she's like lives in a bad part of town. And yeah, so that was basically the pitch. And then when I went to write it, I was like, I'm not feeling this. Like, I don't feel a connection to this person. How can I make it more me? And then I actually ended up making her Asian American, and I ended up setting it in the town that I grew up in. So I just really tried to lean into like my experience. Like, I'm not a rapper, like that's not who I am, but like I know the people I grew up with, I know my community, and I know like just like who populates that world. And I feel like that helped a lot in that sense.
That's really awesome. Would you ever like want to do a show like Insecure, or like you're kind of acting in it too and writing it?
I mean, I don't know if I can act. I did take a lot of theater in school, but I mean, I think I'd be better at directing than actually acting.
Well, you do have your directing experience too from your Japanese
American. Yeah. So
that's awesome. You're totally set up.
Yeah. Someone just needs to give me a chance here.
I know. That's great. So what are your favorite shows on TV?
I'm one of the only people I know that still has cable.
You have to for your show.
That's true. And I also have to because of sports. What am I watching? I kind of gravitate towards the kids animation right now. So I like The Owl House on Disney Channel. It's a very good show. It's very weird and funny. I also like, in terms of like adult stuff, I like Search Party and the other two. I like things that have a very strong, very strange voice.
Yeah.
And other than that, I am obsessed with Big Brother, the reality show.
Oh, that's The Bachelor. So I feel like there's some storylines in there, you know, like there's some stuff in there. So
yeah, and it's just, it's all drama.
I know. I just love it. So I guess to me, reality TV just seems like if you could follow the characters on Instagram after the show ended, but like it's not the actor, it's like the real person.
Yeah.
But so can you tell a bit about your signs and your art business? Because I actually have some of your art. It's very cute.
I mean, the online stuff is kind of new. I started drawing things because I needed a little bit of a break from writing.
Yeah.
I think especially when you don't have, like if your family's like not in the industry and they ask what you're doing and you show them a script, they're like, okay, like what do you want me to do with this?
Yeah.
But if you like draw something, if you like draw a comic and you show it to them, they're like, oh yeah, I get it, like you're doing something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like why I started drawing, just to like have something to show people that wasn't a script that people could like digest a lot easier. Yeah. It was a little bit more fun than writing script for a while. Yeah. So that's how I got into it. There was actually a community of people who self-publish things like this, like comics and stuff. And they have like festivals, or they used to before COVID, all over the state, all over the country. I would go to a bunch of those and I would sell things and I would make friends with everyone. Aww. And then when COVID happened, they kind of had to stop that. So I moved online.
Yeah, I saw that you were at Zine Festivals. That sounds like so fun. Like I didn't even know that was a thing, but well, that's super cool. So I guess like what kind of stuff can we see from you in the future? Like, are you, do you have any art coming out or zines coming out, or are you kind of on pause while you write this very high stakes pilot?
The art is just I guess it's kind of on pause right now. Sometimes I'll draw things and I'll like post them on like Twitter or like an Instagram story if I think it's cute. I feel like I've just like written a bunch of episodes of animation that I cannot talk about and that will not air for like 2 or 3 years.
Oh no. Oh yeah, because animation is such a long pipeline. Wow. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Everyone look out for a show on a network that cannot be named, written by Annie Nishida.
It'll all be on streamers, I believe. Let's see. I think Netflix and HBO Max is where they'll land. But yeah, just give it a couple years.
All right. Well, it's exciting though. We have something to look forward to. Where can people find you? I know you have a website and some social media. Do you want to throw those out?
Sure. Well, my website is my first and my last name.com. So AnnieNishida.com. There are links to like my little store on my website. What else? I'm on Instagram. Also just my first and my last name at AnnieNishida.
Was it hard to get that, or is this a very unique name?
I guess it's a unique name. I did try to get it on Twitter, though. I tried to change my current one to match everything, and it's, like, not available. And I tried to get it. Like, I messaged Twitter, and they were like, no.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't do that.
Oh, that sucks. You gotta message the person who has it and, like, offer to pay them. But, like, that's a lot of work.
Well, what sucks is that, like, the account is inactive. Like, it says it was suspended, and I don't want people to think that, like, account that I have is suspended.
Oh, that sucks. Oh my gosh. There's a rogue Annie Nishida out there.
Yeah.
So what is your Twitter at then?
It's my last name, then my first name, but there's only one A. So it's N-I-S-H-I-D-A and N-I-E.
So it shows an A. There we go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on this episode and providing all of your stories and advice. It's been super fun. And everyone, go follow Annie and go watch Gabby Duran and the Unsittables.
Yay! And you can, everyone, feel free to reach out to me. I'm usually doing nothing. I'll respond.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining me in the writer's room today. If you want to chat writing or any ideas for upcoming episodes, message me on Instagram @IntoTheWritersRoom. Thanks so much and see you next time.